Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears? Cam Kardashian? Paris Hilton? Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. The money was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Oppressors of generations who have kept you down with myths of opportunity, and we give it back to you, the people.
Brother, it is time for the mortals to pay.
Release the Kraken!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. My name is Brian the Hammer Jackson. I think I am broadcasting. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. Our ratings are up, so am I. My voice is not the best in the world, I guess. I'll try to get through this show because my voice sounds horrible this morning. Welcome to the show, everybody. If you've never been on the show or heard the show before, yeah, you could be on it because I'm going to start interviewing soon. If you are an author, entertainer, business person, I want to talk to you. We have a worldwide audience. God, my voice sucks today. Wow. If you'd like to come to the studio, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number that your voice will be heard globally. Come on in. It's Friday. Friday, what it means is Dark Friday. Tell a story about Dark Hollywood. Things happened. 2 days ago, we've been talking about sociopaths, psychopaths, whatever paths. And I got a reaction on Facebook and some on Twitter, too, about more. Are you secretly with a sociopath? You know, because maybe a sociopath don't even know about who he is. Well, we're going to go over that, too. Our main story is what happened to Wendy Williams, the shocking final days of the Wendy Williams show. What the fuck happened to Wendy? Our second story, we'll continue with the sociopath secretly. You may be a so-cool. We continue, are you a sociopath secretly? It's Dark Hollywood Friday. Again, if you'd like to come on the show, if you've never been on the show, you never talked to me, it's an experience. Why am I talking so fast? I must be on cocaine. No, it's not the cocaine, it's the fentanyl. Leave the cocaine alone. Cocaine's fine. The fentanyl's giving me the hard time today, this morning. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. I am not politically correct, and I will not cuddle you. You'll come in as an adult, and I will handle you as an adult. If you got big tits, I will handle that too. It's Friday. I don't have any handlers. It's Friday, everybody. You know, I can play the typical song. Friday, I just got paid, you know, that kind of thing. But it is Friday. I'd like to hear what you're going to be doing on Friday. I'd like to know if you broke up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend when you think she's a sociopath. I'd like to hear those stories. Here's the number again. Don't lose it. 319-527-6099. That number will be good for another hour. It's time for me to get some coffee. again, our top story is what happened to Wendy Williams, and we're going to go in depth about what's happening to her and what happened to her. And then, again, we're going to go with our second story. Are you with a sociopath? Do you know he's a or she's a sociopath secretly, and you love it because the sex is freaky? Sociopaths got great sex. Yeah, you got to be a little crazy, do a little freak. We'll be right back with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. I'm going to get coffee.
Friend of mine, the table.
this on Friday. Listening to Hammer Radio Network. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and that was, of course, one of my favorite group, Aerosmith. God, Aerosmith, man. Wow. Back in the day, you guys are missing great music. Back in the day. Before we get to our main story, like I was talking about what happened to Wendy Williams, and then we're going to talk about, are you secretly in love, married, or are a psychopath, a sociopath, and you probably don't even know it. Before we get to that, I'm talking really fast. It's going to be a short show, and I want to get it all in. You know, TikTok, believe it or not, it, I don't know what to do. You know, I got involved in, you know, I'm on Facebook, and if you want to see me on Facebook, I'm at, who am I on Facebook? Brian Hammer Jackson on Facebook? Guess that's what you do. You go to Facebook and you add me as a friend, Brian Hammer Jackson. You'll see that little thing that says Blue, the House of Blues or whatever. That's me. If you want to add me on Twitter, I'm at Hammer AOD. That's Angel of Darkness, but that's Hammer A as in Alfred, O as in Oscar, D as in David, or damn. That's me on Twitter. Where else am I at? I'm on Instagram. Hammer Talk Show, Hammer Radio. I'll get me on Instagram, whatever. So here's a story, and that way you can keep up on the shows. I'll be doing a lot of things. I'll be doing TikToks. You know, I lost a lot of weight. I'm looking really fly. I'm looking good. I'm looking fly. I'm putting myself on camera, so I'll be doing silly stuff. As you see me do silly stuff on the radio, I'll be doing silly stuff in person. You don't want to miss that. You got to get on that list. All right, speaking of crazy stuff, TikTok, here we go. Here's the headline. The entire department resigns at the same time. Yeah, get this. Entire department resigns at the same time because of their manager. True story. These are employees of an entire shoes department at a store in Virginia. They resign at the same time after getting fed up with their district manager. So the whole department just decided to say, fuck it, and the girl did a TikTok on it. There they are. There's the losers of the week. Let's call them losers of the week. Losers of the week. Losers of the week. You know, I don't know what that is. There's millennials. There's baby boomers. There's, what is that? They're baby boomers. And then I think before baby boomers, I think they're millennials. I'm missing something maybe. Or Xers, Gen Xers. When did they come in? Is it baby boomers, then Gen Xers maybe, then millennials, and then I think there's Z. I got to find out how it goes with these Z people. They're in their 20s now. And I used to hate millennials, but these Z fuckers, man, oh my God, driving me crazy. Here it is. TikTok user Garwood8812 posted a video in which all staff members from Lynchburg store appeared to resign without hesitation. She panned the camera on the faces of the employees and asked them how they were getting on. That was it. Let me see. Workers appeared to be happy about leaving the job, which had become troublesome. I wonder what's so troublesome about the job. Did it mean that you had to be there? Did it mean that you had to stay there and work it? You couldn't leave? I don't know. Didn't they know about this when you applied for the job, that it is in a shoe department? I don't know. Okay, so the whole shoe department crew is leaving, as I said in the video. The video caption read, to our DM, I guess district manager, we all hated you. See, here's where the maturity goes out the window. I mean, if your leader is saying, we hate you, and that's your leader, you're fucking in trouble, man. Fucking in trouble. It's like you have a leader and you vote, hey, you know what, you're a leader. Okay, I'll be right there as soon as I take this drop of LSD. That's our leader. And then we're going to make some major decisions about your life choices as soon as I hit this LSD or some ecstasy. And then we'll talk about your life choices. Okay? Give me a minute. It's the same idiot. When your leader says, we all hated you, and you're leaving your job, this is a job. You're not there because they love you. You're there to do a job, and you're there to get paid and go home. But when you start going, we all hated you, we have a problem. So we're going to not only boycott you, leave the department, but we're going to try to hurt your feelings. We hated you. Yeah, you. We just don't like you. We hate you. Even my dog hates you. My mom hates you, and she never met you before. We hate you. So there. And we're leaving. I guess a lot of these people were not making enough money to move out the house. Maybe they all lived at home or in a garage, so they didn't really have, you know, that much to sacrifice. But that's where it starts. We all hated you. And don't forget to fix those window displays. The shoe department, you've been real. Now, these are really intelligent people, right, who made life choices here. What's it going to say in your resume? Well, you know what? I worked at the shoe place, and we hated the guy. So we all left. So you got an opening? I mean, what do you put on your resume for your next job? You've been real. You've been fun, but you sure as hell haven't been real fun. Your job is not supposed to be fun. I think this is a zeer. What do you call these? I'm getting crazy. Zeers. What is it? Gen Xers? I got to find out who they are. Okay, because I'm getting, who are they? Whatever. Who's after? I wish somebody can call. Who's after millennials? Okay, let me see who I got. Oh, Generation Z. That's who they are. Generation Z. Sounds like some sci-fi thing. And what generation comes after millennials? Generation Z. That's who I'm talking about. How old are the people in Generation Z? Well, they're also known as Zoomers. Zoomers. They're a demographic cohort succeeding millennials and preceding Generation Alpha, meaning Generation X. Researchers in popular media used the mid to late 1990s as a starting birth years and the early 2010s as ending birth years. So the starting is 1990 and the ending is 2010. Well, we're at 2022, so what is now? What are we at? Well, anyway, they're Generation Z, typically being defined as starting from 1997. Most members of Generation Z are children of. Okay, so what does that make you? So you're born 1997, 20, so 97, 2007 is 10, 17. Well. How old are you if you're in 1997? Okay, that's 2000. We're at 20. So you're about 21, 22? Because basically, you're about 23 years old. You're around at 23 years old right about now. So you're anywhere, yeah. Huh. From the late 1990s. So those guys are destroying our nation. They're killing us. So they resigned. They resigned. Useless sons of bitches. So, and I can't find the story anymore. So there's a bunch of these kids. I know where it is. I'm sorry. So, it's been real. You've been fun, but you sure haven't been real fun. That's how they what they wrote. That's it. and they put the video on TikTok. And there's some other stories like, wife hires mistress to keep her husband happy, says, I guarantee there will be no fight between you and me. There's another weird story. It's Friday, and it's Weird Story Friday. It's Freaky Friday, Freaky Fuck Friday. Hey, I should coin that as Freaky Fuck Friday. Now on a Brian and Hammer Jackson show, will be Freaky Fuck Friday. Yeah. One more story, and we'll get to our main story. Well, there's a couple more. So apparently, I just read it. A wife hires the mistress. What is it? Wife hires mistress to keep her husband happy, says, I guarantee there will be no fights between you and me. It appears that the reason for the mass exit had to do with, oh, I'm sorry, we're going back to the behavior. We're going back to the other story where people left. You know, I got to read the wife mistress thing later. It appears that the reason for the mass exit had to do with the behavior of a district manager they couldn't stand working for. Then she's on TikTok with her name, Nick Sims, asked at Garwood 8812 to praise the employees for the step against a toxic workplace. This is the mind. So now you got your TikTokers saying, yay, I'm supporting this as a step against a toxic workplace. What kind of mental illness are we dealing with? A toxic workplace? Get the fuck out of here. This is what's wrong, man. This is what's wrong. This is what's wrong why you swipe left, and then you think you're going to bang somebody that night, and you do. You hook up, and then you wake up the next morning, and your bed's on fire, and they try to burn you because you're with mentally ill people. Toxic workplace. There is no such thing as a toxic workplace. There's only toxic employees. There's no such thing as toxic workplace. You know the job when you took it. You filled out the application. They told you all about the job. They introduced you to things. You had your temporary thing. There is no toxic workplace. There's only toxic employees. And they're using toxic a lot. One user said, way to go, guys. I used to work in the mall. Y'all don't deserve all this BS. Signed, I'm at home for the rest of my life and my mommy hates me. No, I just put that there. Why are you supporting this? Another wrote, give them hell. These are the mindset of these Generation Zs. Another wrote, give them hell. These corporations have been getting fat off the work class for too long without paying people what they're due. That's nothing to do with paying people. Why are you? They said they walked off the workplace because they didn't like the guy. Now you want to put in, another person wrote, oh, this is about pay now? You want to put this narrative in? These people are called, we all know what they're called, bums, lowlifes, losers who are supporting this behavior. If you're not mature enough to get a job, and you're not mature enough to hold a job, and you're not mature enough to understand the rules of corporation and job, you shouldn't waste people's time. You're a loser. I say, you losers who are supporting this, you should go take free fentanyl. I know a place where you get some free fentanyl, and you should get a handful of them because that's what you're worth. Go ahead. It's free. With some coffee. Just grab a handful. Because that's all you're going to do. And you girls who are supporting this, you should go to the nearest strip place and get a job sliding down a pole. Because that's the mindset you have, and it's ridiculous. But that other story caught my eye with the mistress. Here it is. I got to read it. So a wife hires a mistress to keep her husband happy. Ah, now we're talking. Finally, somebody with sense. I'm drinking my coffee. But I like that. Wife hires me. Why can't more women be open-minded like this and you have less divorces? Why not? Wife hires mistress to keep her husband happy. Says, I guarantee there will be no fights between you and me. Okay, good. Goody, 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 goody. Is that good? A Thai woman has hired a beautiful and educated mistress to keep her husband happy. Why not? You American women should listen to this, because Thailand, we all know that Thailand is very good for morals and for relationships and for Buddhas. You know, the Buddhas. They have the Buddhas in Thailand. And you go there and you rub the booty of the Buddha. So if you want some booty and have relationships and have religion with the booty, with the Buddha, you got to zen with the Buddha. And talk to the clergy, I guess, the Buddha people, or you might want to call them booties, and go there in Thailand and talk to some booties and get religion in your life. Because that's where the Buddha people are. Buddhis. I continue. Wife hires mistress to keep her husband happy. There they are. Look at those two. They seem so happy. Again, they're like 22, 23. So guess who they are? Generation X's. A Thai woman has hired a beautiful and educated mistress to keep her husband happy. Her name is Pathima Chaman. She's 44. She's from Bangkok. You know, I was that kid in school. I can't help it. Even to this, I was a kid in school, you know, when you're like in fifth grade or fourth grade and they say, you know, like Lake Titicaca and you start laughing. I still laugh at Bangkok. I mean, it's kind of redundant if you really think about it. I mean, if you put it, it's two syllable, Bangkok. I mean, if you really think about it, who names a Bangkok? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's like having another country and you call it City Cunt. It's just Bangkok. Let me get past this. From Bangkok. She said that she has not been sleeping with her husband and makes her feel like a bad wife. Okay. She feels so guilty. She sent out a video advertisement seeking young single women with a college diploma. She is offering 15,000 BAHT. What the fuck is that? That must be their money in Bangkok. Yeah, Bangkok. RS 33,000 for the role, whatever. Woman spots herself in random photo of her husband taking it. Okay, anyway. I want to hire the three mistresses for my husband, she said in a video. You will get paid at least 15,000 BAHT a month. Get free accommodation and free meals, but you need to help me out. Two will be hired to help with document work in my office, and another will be hired to take care of me, my husband, and my child. So she's talking about a maid with benefits. Take care of her, too. Oh. I saw this movie on Pornhub. 4 stars. I sure did. She added, I guarantee there will be no fights between you and me. My husband has been working hard alone, and I just want him to be happy. I will also have friends. Well, bitch, why don't you just open your legs and shave that pussy and give it to him? And why do you have to hide? How lazy are you? Can you imagine? Now, that's the ultimate lazy. How lazy are you that you won't give the pussy to your husband, that you're going to put an ad in so somebody can take care of that? Wow. My husband's been working hard alone, and I just want to be happy. Want him to be happy. I will also have friends to be with at home. Shaman was quoted as saying by Mir, the candidate should not have a child as it will become a burden. They have to look presentable and communicate well, she said. The woman added that it was important for the candidate to be able to please my husband. Ooh. Wow. I saw this on Pornhub. It did have a happy ending. She said, His mistress must also be able to keep him company and entertain him, so they must have a good personality and be fun. So far, I see nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong at all. Chalmers says she is struggling with chronic depression and that is the only reason why she wants help. I want to find mistresses for my husband as I am struggling physically. I have chronic depression and I feel like I can't take care of my husband well. Okay, I'm going to take a little note here. Date a woman with chronic depression. Okay, then marry her. Yes, and then she will ask, and she will look for mistresses for me. Got it. This is another reason why you should date people who are mentally ill. You get the benefits. You get a lot of benefits. Her husband, his name is Pettigwan, was surprised when he found the advertisement in social media. What does he think about it? Shut up. What does he think about it? The man just bought some lube, some anal lube. He's partying. He got some wine. He probably shaved his pubic hair. He manscaped. What do you mean, what does he think about it? Party City. Shut up. Well, he was shocked about it, but he's not against it. Yeah, how'd he do that? I am so shocked about it. So, Friday night's good? But I'm really shocked. Woohoo! Ruckrow. George. We're going to talk about mental illness really soon. Hang in there. My wife told me she wanted to find somebody to take care of me. Okay, the women will be treated like family and work in our company like family, the husband said. What kind of company do they have? He added, other men that wish to be like me should communicate with their wives about it. They should ask their wives for permission so there won't be any problems in the future. I never wanted to have any other mistress, but since my wife is offering, I won't object. My wife is offering to kill me. Should I object to that? Or should shove a big stick up my ass? I'm not objecting because I want to please my wife. Watch the splinters. I'm not going to object. I mean, since she's offering, I mean, come on, you know. Hey, honey, you want to fuck a mistress? Well, you know what? I haven't really thought it, but I am so shocked. Okay. Since you're offering. Whoa. Bangkok. That's a song with Bangkok. What is that song? Damn it. It's in my head now. Bangkok. There's a song about Bangkok. It appears that the couple has welcomed the perfect mistress into their lives. Shannon asked a beautiful 33-year-old to join the family as her husband's mistress. The woman said to be a close friend of his. Of course. It's a close friend of Shannon. Is Shannon a guy or a girl? I lost interest. Whatever. The application for the position, I'm wondering what position, doggy, anal, reverse cowboy, has been reportedly been closed despite Shemin originally advertised 3 roles. I was going to put in my application. Oh. Hello. There you go. These are crazy things. What does I call it? Freaky Fuck Friday. We'll be right back with our main story. What happened to Wendy Williams? I am Brian Hammer Jackson. The shocking final days of the Wendy Williams show. And then we're going to talk about, are you secretly in love, living with, associating with, or are you a psychopath? We'll let you know today if you are a psychopath. The number is 319-527-6099. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. Thank you. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. welcome back. I got a little late. I love Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine. It's Friday. Had a package at the door, sorry. Some people wanted me to had a big thing of T-shirts that people gave me. They said, me stuff in a book. Had a sign for it. You know, also what we're going to do is that we're going to give a good review. There's three movies I want to give a review because it's Friday. One is called House of Dragon. That's a prequel movie of, come on, GOT. If you don't know what GOT is, then forget it. Come on. Another one we're going to do is Rings of Power, and that's a prequel of Lord of the Rings. And Laverne, Stanley suggested another show for us to watch, The Sandman, and she gave me a little review on that, so we'll give you a review. You guys don't know what GOT yet? You don't know what GOT is yet? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Okay. If you don't know what GOT yet, then you should not look at this sequel. Everybody knows what GOT is. Here we go, Wendy Williams, okay? Let's do this. You know, everybody suffers. I believe that people are suffering from mental illness. GOT, Game of Thrones, okay? Game of Thrones, I got on Facebook. What is GOT, please? Game of Thrones. And that's a sequel, House of the Dragon. And we're going to hear the trailer and do a review on that. We're going to do, like, we're trailer trash, right? Hey, that should be a good review, trailer trash. Like, basically, you trash the movie if it's a bad movie. Call it trailer trash. And every Friday, we'll just do things on the movies that are coming out, and we'll call it trailer trash, whether it's trailer trash or just a good movie. But if it's bad, we'll trash it. It's like off the trailer, just the trailer alone. Look at that. I create new shit, original trailer. We'll call it trailer trash. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Hitch that home and move to another city. Here we are, Wendy Williams. Here we go, folks. The final shocking days of Wendy Williams. Not going to play everything, but we'll play enough, and we'll talk when there's something to talk about. Here we go.
By their managers and agents, but they never won. With Williams effectively AWOL,
I hate these amateur
her
bullshit.
Former manager, Bernie Young.
All right.
So I'm going to take through all of that information together and giving the side of Dubmore Mercury, the
Hey, it's me. I'm
production company behind the.
Shut up.
An update, and we've covered so many.
This is the guy from the Hollywood Reporter, which is a good newspaper. It is entertainment magazine, and he's going to talk about it, so he might be good. And there he is talking about Wendy Williams.
Welcome back to the Kenbire Daily YouTube channel, your number one source for pop culture news and music, entertainment, reality TV, and so much more. As you come into the
God, I don't. I'm glad I don't have a voice like that. It's gay as fuck. Why do people who are gay have to be gay as fuck voice? Why can't you just have like a normal voice? Oh my God, gay as fuck. Okay, well, let's listen to Fruit Pants here, Fruity Pants, and. The Wendy Williams Show.
Room, be sure to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting the channel, but also share the video. Normally, we do not go live at this time, but there was a report that the Hollywood Reporter put out today.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got to stop this because we have a special guest in the studio. Hold on. Hold on, Fruity Pat. All right, hold on. Let me see. Hello. Is this who I think it is? The Ebony Queen herself, Laverne?
Hey, hey, hey. How you doing, Blaine?
I'm doing good here. I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what happened to Wendy Williams, and Fruity Pants is explaining everything.
Okay.
I should not. Why do I call these? What is wrong with me, Laverne? Why can't I just say, you know, here's the guy, the Hollywood Reporter? But I have to comment on his personality. I mean, you know.
Remember,
what's that, kiddo?
I said, don't forget, you're the shock jock.
I am. I don't try to be. It just comes out. What do you call that man? Why is that? That young man is trying to make a living. You call him Mr. Fruity Pants. Hello, Mr. Fruity Pants. I should know better. All right. And hopefully after he's done, I was telling everybody about the review of The Sandman that you actually saw one episode. I haven't seen the episode. Based on the episode that you saw, I'd like to get a review, but can we get it right after Fruity Pants here?
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Laverne. I love Laverne. And if you'd like to come in the studio just like Laverne, she did this, 319-527-6099. That's how she got in. And her voice is around the world, 319-527-6099. Come in and join her. Ask Laverne a question. She is an original. We have a group. We used to call them, I forgot the name of the, we used to have our group. What do we call our group?
The morning crew.
Exactly. I've been coming on at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, but the morning crew. Love the morning crew. They support me. And they ignore my mental illness. They're a great group of people. All right. We're going to listen to Morning Pat. Laverne's right here. And I'm going to stop it. We're not going to listen to all of it. We're going to get to a point, right? If he makes a point, we'll stop it there. And we'll have a discussion about mental illness and about Wendy Williams, as I promise. Thank you, Laverne. And here we go. Let's continue with Fruity Pants here.
For an update. And we've covered so many different stories in regards to the Wendy Williams situation, and now this report is tying all of that information together and giving the side of Dubmar Mercury, the production company behind the successful the Wendy Williams show. So in this article,
you should know all about the behind, Mr. Fruity Pats. Because it's going to be one long segment. Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. Let's go back to Mr. Fruity Pants. And he was, last time we talked to him, he was behind. That's it. Here we go.
Of the Wendy Williams show. So bear with me. Because this evening, I want to actually go through...
Behind. Bear with you. This is all gay talk, sex talk. Bear with me. Behind. Come on, who are you fooling?
Every part of this story. Because I think it's worth us reading it.
Shut up.
Commenting on it.
Shut up.
And then reacting to the overall story. I've read this story a couple of times.
Why
and listened to the audio.
Let's get to the point.
A stan of Wendy Williams, so I cannot see through rose-colored glasses either.
You probably never dated Rose. You're too busy dating Ralph, Mr. Fruity Pants. Get to the point.
From her famous purple chair, Williams spoke openly and unapologetically about her ongoing struggles with substance abuse. You may recall she revealed this through tears in 2019 that she had been staying in a sober living facility. Before that, the host had done time at a high-end rehab in Florida. which according to Marcus Bernstein was paid by Dunbar Mercury. Williams also discussed on the show the demise of her 20-plus year marriage to Kevin Hunter, a.k.a. Kelvin Hunter, and the baby he was having with his mistress, and later revisited both in her, of course, Lifetime documentary and movie. So behind the scenes, according to the house...
There you go again with the behind. Move on. It's not your personal life. I'm so sick of you. Move on. Why do you have to use the word, come on?
Hollywood Reporter, they're saying insiders were reporting that Wendy Williams was unraveling. Everybody on the staff and crew witnessed all kinds of things, says one show source. According to two more, during the four-year period, producers sent pre-show text messages to higher-ups at the company questioning Williams' sobriety on at least 25 separate occasions. So if you know and you've been following our reports of Wendy Williams here on YouTube, Facebook, or social media, we reported to you multiple times that there were instances that we noticed, that you noticed, and called out, like, something's not right with Wendy. There was even one particular instance where she was literally slurring her words on the air. And we questioned the production company, like, why are you guys putting her out there when she clearly is not well? Okay. The article continues, those at the top would then have to make an ultra-quick judgment call on whether to go live at 10 a.m., which those sources say was typically complicated by the fact that Williams would insist she was fine. In some of those instances, the episode in question was the second taping of the day, which meant it wouldn't air until later in the week, giving executives time to rewatch the hour to see if Williams appeared inebriated. In all but one case, it was decided that she seemed fine enough, and the episodes aired as planned. The exception occurred in the spring of 2021, and a repeat ran in its place.
All right, you're getting me. One of those
sources shut up. Just shut the hell up.
Bottles of alcohol up in the ceiling tiles and other weird places in the office, which alludes to, well, not alludes, it basically is saying that not only did she have physical ailments that they were reporting on and confirming, but they also were saying that she had abused alcohol, according to multiple reports.
I abused alcohol once, and I called the cops, and I was arrested for 3 days. Oh, come on. In rehab, that killed. That killed in rehab. Tough audience. Okay. Laverne never abused anything, not even alcohol. I respect the alcohol. I would never abuse it.
Well, they know a lot of people that's in showbiz abuse alcohol. That's no secret.
That is no secret. You know, here's what really happened. I'm going to try to gay it up. I don't think I can gay it up as much as Fruity Pants there. And I'm right to the point about Wendy. She also was suffering from Graves' disease, by the way, everybody. So, you know, when you can hear the gossip in Fruity Pants, and, oh, well, they found bottles of alcohol and she abused it. So what? I'm surprised that she hid it. It should just be in her dressing room, and nobody should be able to go into her dressing room or whatever. You don't hide alcohol all over the studio and atop the fan. I oh, my God. It's like, she did have addiction. Wendy Williams did have, she did have some kind of addiction, including drugs. She did. Here's a secret struggle, and I'll try not to gay it up as fuck. Inside Wendy Williams' health crisis, including addiction, and I can't pronounce it. I want to know what that is. Lymphedema. We got to find out what that is. We already did. As she was hospitalized for psychiatric issues, Wendy Williams was forced to delay the premiere of her talk show, The Wendy Williams Show, this week amid an ongoing health issues and testing positive for COVID-19. No, that's not the disease. She was dating some guy named COVID. He was 19. Bada boom.
Good for her.
Oh, really? Amen, sister girl. Jesus. Good for her. Wow. Wow. And just hours later, The Sun is the newspaper and not somebody's son. It's a newspaper. Exclusively revealed that a woman matching Wendy's description was rushed to the hospital suffering psychiatric issues in New York on Wednesday. Wendy Williams is struggling with health issues and just delayed the premiere of her show. Last week, Wendy's team announced she would be taking a break from promotional duties to undergo health evaluations. The Post read, Wendy is dealing with some ongoing health issues and is undergoing further evaluation. She would not be able to complete her promotional activities next week. But can't wait to be back in her purple chair on Monday. That's September 20th. But just days after, Wendy had another setback. Another post on her show Instagram read, while continuing her health evaluations, Wendy has tested positive for a breakthrough case of COVID-19 to allow Wendy time to call. See, these are what we call, your publicist's excuses. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Here's another case. These are just publicist excuses, by the way. It's just bullshit excuses. Basically, she's having a really mental breakdown. She also has Graves' disease. I'm not going to go into the gossip about her show and she did this and did this. It is true. She had a mental breakdown of her man who cheated on her. The guy just said it. She was married to this guy. She had a breakdown on her show. Found out that he not only cheated on her. I think he was like 20 years younger than her or something, whatever. She not only found out that he cheated, her husband cheated, but the bitch gave birth. The mistress had the baby. His baby. She went nuts. Literally, she went nuts. She started taking, now we're talking alcohol. I heard that she took more hard stuff than alcohol. And, you know, it just says here, Wendy Williams had to be told several times her show had been canceled, exec said. Insiders reported multiple talks with the host in which she seemed to repeatedly forget that her show was canceled amid other behind-the-scenes stories. So they're telling her, your show has been canceled, but she didn't really understand that. William Williams didn't know that her long-running talk show had been canceled. Now, if it's canceled, why are they still putting her name to it? See, this is how Hollywood is, the bullshit. They're still pimping her out. We don't need you. You're undependable. We can't insure you. You're unreliable. But your name still brings in the audience. And so we're going to pimp your name out. I don't know. Melissa sent me something. I just don't know. It looks like I don't know what this is. Promise you this goodie. Oh, yeah. We're talking about this woman who lost her breast or something like that. And it's another story that Melissa and I were talking about. Thank you, Melissa. I remember now. And she said she was going to send me the picture. So she was doing other hard stuff. Some people said she was doing heroin and stuff like that. Wendy Williams didn't know that if she didn't even know that her show had been canceled, she had to be completely out of it. Despite repeated communication that her tenure at the head of the program had come to an end following a month-long back and forth over health issues, said the executive. That's how much she's out of it. In a new interview with The Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, Brian, you didn't tell her.
Right. Well, they said they told her repeatedly, but she just didn't register.
Oh.
she just kept coming back is that they told her that your show is over, your show is canceled. She just didn't register it.
Oh, okay.
In a new interview with the Hollywood Reporter, production distributor Debmar Mercury Company presidents Ira Bernstein and Mort Merkes revealed that they had multiple conversations with her. We told her multiple times that your show is over. And had to tell her several times that the show was ending despite having publicly announced its conclusion in February as a result of her leave. But why are you keeping her name? I want to know. I mean, if you still look at it, it says Wendy Williams Show. Sherry Shepherd has taken over it, but they're still using it as Wendy Williams Show. Why don't you call it the Sherry Shepherd Show? Because I'm looking at it right now, and it says Wendy. You know, I don't know if they're still keeping the name. It says here, I said we haven't heard from you, and we have to make a decision. We should have made one in November, but we pushed it to January or February. And by then, it was like, make a decision or lose the time period. Bernstein recounted, that's the producer, adding that Williams appeared to be confused about the show's cancellation following a revolving door of 16 guest hosts filling in for her on season 13. One of those hosts, former View panelist and actress Sherry Shepherd, would eventually inherit the vacant slot with her own talk show. Okay, that answers it. She said, well, what's going to air at 10 o'clock? I told her, Sherry's going to air at 10 o'clock. So can I go on at 11? I said, we'd love to work with you, and there are lots of ways and lots of buyers, but you need to come back, and we need to know that you're okay, he continued. You can't just call after 9 months and say, I'm ready. Ooh, this poor child. Well, can I do it at 11 o'clock? No, you're mentally ill, basically. The publication noted that a version of this conversation would take place several more times over the next 4 months, including multiple phone calls with both co-presidents as well as a sit-down lunch in Manhattan. Each time, the outlet continued. According to the pair, Williams appeared to be having this discussion for the first time. It's like she's not registering what's happening here. Okay. If she's having the same conversation, and you're having the same conversation with her, something is wrong with her. Doesn't she have anybody to say, you know what? She's cuckoo. She's losing her mind. There's something wrong. Now we get to the point. The exchanges allegedly occurred after Williams' ongoing illness, including Graves' disease. It resulted in a delay in launching season 12 of the show back in September 2021. She publicly expressed multiple times, including in a March interview with Good Morning America, that she was ready to return to the program, though a production source told EW, that's Entertainment Weekly, at the time it was too late for the 50-year-old to take the reins once again for the current. It's too late. And Wendy's saying, my health is very well, and I actually had a few appointments. I'm 57 now, and I have the mind and the body of a 25-year-old. No, you don't. Williams told Good Morning America. I'm very comfortable. My partner's with the show. Everybody's ready. Give me about 3 months. This poor kid. She's still thinking she has a shot. And she's living that lie. I just got to get better. Give me a shot. I mean, Hollywood will chew you up. Just chew you up. Break your heart, step on it, and chew you up. So she's begging, give me about 3 months. There are private things that I have to deal with. Then I'll be ready to come back and be free and ready to do my thing. Marcus added in, it was a THR piece. I forgot what that is. Eventually they said, Wendy, we need to have a diagnosis from a doctor, whether it's the TV stations or a network or a new producer. Anyone who's going to do business with you after you didn't show up for a year, we need to know that you're okay. Without that assurance, no one's going to risk money or finance things. And that's true. Do you know how much money they lost in a year? With this back and forth thing, it's a business. And we're dealing with the cuckoo.
But look, wasn't she in the contract?
Yeah. But she fucked up. Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Hello,
if she was on the contract and she broke it, then she had no choice to do, you know, not to have a job.
That's true. Good morning, Melissa. Melissa's here, everybody.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. The reason I'm even doing this.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, she is under contract, but the thing about it is in the contract, there are clauses. There are a lot of clauses that can break the contract. And if you're mentally not able to do the show and you're leaving the show off and on with no reason at all, they could break that contract very easy. It's not a steel contract.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who do immoral things when they're under contract. And Disney, my God, Disney have the tiniest moral clause you ever want to hear. If you just fart in public, Disney will revoke that contract. They are very tight with you all season and how you handle yourself and how you present yourself because you're still representing Disney. So they do have that moral clause in there. And thank Melissa, because Melissa is the one that I tried to call Laverne early. Of course, Laverne's too busy to, you know, talk to me, and her people just said,
she has
you know.
A life.
Yeah, she does. So I called Melissa and because I wanted a three-way. And Melissa said, you know, this is a good topic to talk about. Whatever happened to Wendy Williams? I'm saying whatever happened to her, too. Well, we can go through all this, and it comes down to Graves' disease. Wendy has Graves' disease. Let's get to the point. And most people don't even know what Graves' disease is.
Oprah
she
has Graves' disease. I have it.
I'm sorry?
Oprah had Graves' disease or has it.
Oh, does she really? I did not
know
that.
Yeah, it's a thyroid condition. I think it's hyperthyroid. Means that, you know, too quick. That's why her eyes are all buggy. That's why.
Really? Well, here are some of the symptoms. If you're experiencing new, severe, or persistent symptoms, contact a healthcare provider. The symptoms may vary significantly from person to person. Some of the common symptoms are, and Melissa just said it, enlargement of your thyroid gland. You get a goiter. I got a goiter. You should see my new
picture.
You
don't have a goiter.
I look like a bullfrog. Yes, I do.
No.
I look like one of those pygmy dogs. Hmm?
Melissa said you didn't have it. I said, let you have one if you want it.
He can't have everything he wants.
Now you can. You're only allowed to have a lot of this one. You can't have all the diseases. Leave some for somebody else. Sudden weight loss, mood swings, heat sensitivity, and increased in perspiration or warm, moist skin. Abnormalities in the menstrual cycle, erectile dysfunction. Frequent bowel movements. What is it with you? I just mentioned penis and you. Did you ever notice that, Laverne?
Yeah.
Sometimes I make myself laugh. Sometimes.
I know. I mean, you didn't bat an eye with abnormalities in the menstrual cycle. As soon as I said erectile dysfunction, frequent bowel movements, weaknesses, change in skin texture and color, especially on top of the feet, Graves' palpitation from fast heartbeat, puffy eyes, pain in the eyes, change in vision, bulging eyes, light sensitivity, redness in the eyes. These are all Graves' disease. I don't think there's a cure for it. The diagnosis is people should do a physical examination, checking your blood pressure, heart rate, examining bulging of the eyes, observing thyroid gland for enlargement, goiter. I think I got goiter in my pants. Bulging.
You know, see, here we go. Here we go.
I just tweeted for a reaction.
Here we go.
His penis got a goiter.
His penis has
a goiter.
He
got Graves' disease at his penis. I know.
I told him yesterday what to do. Get a penis pump. Get one of those. Get one of those.
Well, here's another. thyroid function test to measure the thyroid hormone. These are things you should do. Take a blood test to identify the associated antibody. Radioactive iodine uptake test. The amount of iodine absorption by thyroid gland helps determine the disease condition. Image scan pattern of iodine uptake will be useful in a diagnosis. Ultrasound, high fever. So there's, if you suspect that you have Graves' disease, these are the tests you test. And here's the treatment. You can, and luckily you can be treated with medication. You can be treated with control. I can't pronounce it, but there's medication you can be treated. You don't need to have a surgery.
Sometimes
there are beta
blockers.
Sometimes
they kill the thyroid, too. They kill the thyroid.
Ooh, that's wrong.
And then
wrong.
People have to take medication. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because I guess the extreme is they give it a thyroidectomy, which is
yeah.
a thyroid gland may be completely removed.
Yeah.
And
I had
therapy
a friend that she and her mother had Graves' disease.
Uh-huh. Really?
And she ended up having her thyroid removed. Yeah, she was pretty young, too. Yeah.
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 And foods to eat is include dairy products in the diet to get enough calcium, vitamin D-rich foods. That's a salmon. Cindy calls it salmon. I call it salmon.
It's salmon. It's salmon.
It's salmon, right?
Salmon.
Cindy
it's
says
salmon. It's salmon.
Wait, why is it spelled salmon? S-A-L-M-O-N,
it's
salmon.
Come on. They took the L out. It's silent. It's silent.
Well, the L is silent. Why did they put it in there in the first place?
Because it looks good. It looks good.
That's my pet peeve with these. This is silent. Well, if it's silent, why are you putting it in there?
I got this new CBD spray, and I really like it. It's making me really goofy. I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something, Melissa. You came a long way. You are funny. You relaxed, and you are really
I've
funny. Hasn't she, Laverne?
Way.
You know what I'm saying?
I've always been that way.
Yeah. The beginning when I met you, you kind of sensitive or kind of uptight. But you have come.
No.
You can now laugh at things. And am I right, Laverne? She came a long way.
Well, Melissa and I used to always laugh.
Oh really? Oh okay.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed on the show she just kind of loosens up a little bit and she's having more fun than she used to.
With this stuff. Oh.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. This is good stuff.
Well. Here's life, you know, so if you have Graves' disease, here's your life expectancy, if you want to hear about it. The expected change in life expectancy for people with Graves' disease, and it's over 30 and under 45, is about 2 years, with the lower value of 1.1 giving 1 year and a higher value of what? It's about people over 30 and under 45 is about 2 years. That's what they said the life expectancy.
No.
What is the life expectancy of someone with Graves' disease? And it says here, for women, the expected change in life expectancy for people with Graves' disease in the UK over 30 and under 45 is about 2 years. And a higher value is about 4 years.
My friend and her mother, no, they're alive.
Okay.
But you, Melissa, said that we had it. And you say that, Melissa, then you said Oprah had it and Wendy Williams has it.
Yeah.
But they've been living over 2 years with it, haven't they?
Well, Oprah's been dead for the last 10 years. That's just an AI. I know. I'm getting rumored. Oprah's been dead. Who is that woman?
Oprah. Gracie, you told them.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I know she didn't want it to come out, but it did.
Who, Oprah?
Yeah. Girl, they don't want people to know that stuff.
Yeah, sometimes
okay.
she needs
it. Yeah. America's media mogul Oprah Winfrey announced in 2007 she had a bout of hyperthyroidism followed by hypothyroidism. She was treated with medication, and later her thyroid levels stabilized.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a swollen thyroid after I had Jillian, you know, I had my checkup, mm-hmm. and they said that my thyroid was swollen, and I went in and had a blood test done a couple weeks later, and it was no longer swollen. So it might have been pregnancy that kind of, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, pregnancy causes a lot of shit. I didn't realize, you know, when women go into labor and actually having babies, that the certain conditions that they can, that they will encounter during the pregnancy and after the
yeah.
pregnancy, including the depression, including a lot of things. I mean, that brings on a lot of bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of mental disorder.
Wow. Mental disorders. I'm talking about physical disorders.
Oh,
people
that
can
too.
Get diabetes when they're pregnant.
Right.
And it can go away. Yeah. It's all kinds of
well,
stuff.
Well, not to mention depression, though. Look at the mental disorder.
That's
it's not uncommon for a lot of women. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. It's not uncommon for a lot of women to get depressed after they give birth, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody said to me once, it took 9 months for your body to get into that mode. And all of a sudden, it has to go back, right? It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, but some people have babies right away. As soon as they get, within, what, a couple of months, I think there are people who just seem to get pregnant, you know, so fast after they have the first one. I mean,
I had another one. I was pregnant when my oldest was 6 months old.
Oh, did you really? Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, 5 months old, maybe 5 months. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon, but I you know, I give you guys, man, I couldn't be a man. I couldn't be a woman. I would be a complaining mental bitch if I was a woman. No guy would want to be with me. I couldn't do it. I would complain about my water weight, and I'm getting heat, you know, I'm uncomfortable, and I'm getting heat spells and shifting
yeah.
things and chafing. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No, I
yeah.
cannot be a woman.
And I was
see,
very
that pisses
healthy.
Me
I
off.
I never have any problem.
Right. But see, that pisses me off with the transgender. You know what I'm trying to say? You want to take the good part of the woman and call yourself a woman? I mean, you know what I'm trying to say is like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'll take some steroids and then I'll take some hormonal shots and then I'm a woman and I want to be called, you know, a she bitch. It's like, no, you can't be called a woman. I mean, we're talking menopause and what a woman goes through in menopause. We're talking ovaries. We're talking menstrual cycles. We're talking just the mental thing of being a woman. It's just, it's really, I mean, you're not
yeah.
even going through that. You're just bypassing that and just taking the good parts. Does that make
yeah.
sense or I'm being?
No, I've said that myself.
Yeah, it's like you don't have the right to call yourself a woman. I mean, if you wanna call yourself a he bitch, okay, put a new documentary in it. I'm a he bitch, like you're a man, but you're dressed like a bitch. Okay, I'll go for that. Or a cross dresser back in the day. Back in the day, there was nothing wrong with that. There were cross dressers. There was nothing wrong with that. There was what did we have? Transvestites. They were cool. They made great movies. And I loved the restaurant. And I visited them. I supported the transvestites. Why did we have to go all the way to, I want to be a woman, and now I am a woman, and you're going to call me a woman? It's like you haven't been to pain. You have to have the pain to be a woman. And you haven't lived it. You don't deserve to be called a woman. You don't. It's like the white guys who are in the black neighborhoods and they talk black, they want to be black, and they dress black and everything, but they're white guys, and they go, okay, I'm down with the hood, I'm down with the brothers and everything. I relate to being a brother. I'm black. No, you're not. You can still buy a house in a good neighborhood, and you can still drive through Beverly Hills without getting stopped or maybe shot. There's a certain feeling
yeah.
that when you stop a black man, and I'm not even joking about this, there's a certain fear that when a cop actually stops you, that that you may lose your life that moment. Most black boys and black men feel that pain. They will feel, I mean, not the pain. They will feel that fear one time or another. They will feel it. And if you're white and you can't feel that pain, you are not prepared to be black. And minus the penis, of course.
I read something yesterday or listened to something on NPR that black children are more apt to be punished in school than white children.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't, you're not going to, if you're, and again, I'm not doing anything against white people or anything. I'm just trying to say that if, you know, there's a lot of white guys, and I know too, that says, I'm down with this. And they got red hair and they look like a Carrot Top, but they're down in the hood, you know.
That was funny.
You know, and he could relate to, and he probably could. He was raised in a hood. He raised in this, blah, blah, blah. I understood, and he could relate to a lot of it. He's eating bean pies. He's eating pork, ham hocks, and everything. I understand. Chitlins, and he's having grits for bread. I understand. But you can still be white and love that. You know what I mean? You can still be white and have that flavor. You don't have to just change race, right?
Yeah. I'm even more curious about things like that now because of my grandchildren, so I'm more curious about things, you know, statistics and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't have to change race. You could have that flavor. And it's a great flavor. I'm biased. I love my grandchildren to death. I mean, I can't get enough of them. I love them to death. But we're at, they are Cindy's grandkids. And the grandkids, one has red hair, red as it can be, freckles and everything. You get the point. They're white.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see race when I have my grandbabies. They are my grandbabies. Love them to death. We were at Raging Waters. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that. Raging Waters is a water park. It's one of the biggest water parks in California. It's a water park. That's basically what it is. You guys know what a water park is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Cindy and Jessica, who is my daughter, a lovely daughter. I love my daughter to death. My daughter hates me, by the way. She's a perfect daughter because she hates me with nothing to do with me whatsoever. So I know that she's a daughter material. Because what daughter really loves her papa? She loves me from afar. If she's in Alaska, she loves me. But if she's within 10 feet of me, it's like a restraining order. She hates me. She hates her papa.
Aww.
But she doesn't hate her papa. It's just that her papa annoys her. I think that's what it is. I think it is. But
that's
what I'm trying to say, we're at the water park. We're at the water park. Cindy, my girlfriend, and Jessica took one of the girls. There's two of them. One's 9, Layla. Beautiful Layla, red hair, freckles, and everything. It's like Annie. Have you ever think of Annie? The sun will come out tomorrow. That's Layla.
Yeah.
I had, and so the little one was with me, Isabella. And Isabella has fair skin, of course. You know, they're white kids. Isabella's like, God, how old is Isabella? 6, I think. Okay, anyway, 6. So we separate. So now it's just me and Isabella. And so Isabella wants to go to the small kiddie site, you know, where you can fight through the water and go through the thing and you go through the tubes, you know. It's a kiddie park. It's a kiddie water park. She's having so much fun. She's climbing up the ropes and she's sliding down the the slide and everything, water slide, and she's laughing and she's having so much fun. You know, I'm giggling with her and everything, you know. And then you feel something watching you. And it's like, I don't know what made me turn. But they have people on the water park, you know, security people, but it's not like they're wearing security things. They're like, they have the little life vest, like they're lifeguards walking around, you know. And this one was just eyeing me and everything because I was with Belle. And I mean, it was just hardcore profile, you know. because it was unusual. There's this big black man with this little white girl. You know what I'm trying to say? I didn't let Bill know, but she was just having the grandest time. You know what I mean? It was just annoying. Nothing. Nobody called the cops. There was nothing there. I just felt that they were just watching me special. Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and if it wasn't me, and there are people who abduct children, would I want them to be diligence on that too? So you have to think about that. What do you guys think? You know? You don't want to be racial. But if something, we had somebody on a show once. He used to be on a show. I'm not even going to call him by the word Mister because he doesn't require that respect. Bianchi. Bianchi is an old black man. You know, it's one of these black men that on the porch, you know, just rocking back and forth. You know, just like the old, I figure he's like the old South. You know, what was it? Zippity doo da, zippity da. I figure he's like that, Uncle Ramus, and his mm-hmm. thing is Uncle Amos or Uncle Anus because he's an asshole. But he used to be a friend of the show. Hey, I held back for so many years, kids. I'm taking a shot, and I'm entitled to take a shot. So anyway, he used to be on the show. We used to like him till he turned his back on us, and he started saying bad things about me. So I'm taking a shot, but this is all true. So he's like an Uncle Ramus character. He'll break out in song any minute now. Is it Biddy? Well, let me see. How you doing, Mr. Bianchi?
It happened on one of them zippity-doo.
That's how he sounds. That's what Bianchi sounds like. So even Bianchi, even being on a show for a long period of time, he said he would call the cops on me if he saw me walking down the street with my grandkid, white as, you know, as snow. And I said, you know, you can tell that the kid's not in any kind of, you know, arrest or anything. He goes, I don't care. It looks different. And I would call the cops on you. There you go. I have no more story about that. Yeah. So anyway, going back to her original story. So she has grave disease. She's also suffering from, she's been in and out of drug rehab. Sherry Jones Shepherd has taken over the show, Wendy Williams Show, and here it is. Sherry Shepherd on taking over for Wendy Williams. Let's be clear, I'm not a mean person. Wendy was kind of mean. Wendy gossiped about you. I saw the show. I thought Wendy was a guy. I swear to God, I'd never seen a woman so big in my life. And it says here, Sherry Shepherd. As she takes over the Wendy Williams Show, Sherry Shepherd is making something clear. Williams was known for speaking her mind on her now canceled daytime talk show. While she will be missed, some viewers are anxious to see how her replacement is. Yes. Oh, welcome back. So Sherry Shepherd, she always swoops in and takes the crap, you know. She swoops on everybody's show. She did the same thing with The View. She swooped on in. She had a terrible time with everybody else. I don't like Sherry Shepherd. I don't like Wendy Williams, but Sherry Shepherd gets on my nerves. She even had her problems. Didn't she date a young guy and he fucked her over? Didn't there was something going on with Sherry? Didn't she have some mental illness going on with her? I'm going to go into that. I'm going to just say Sherry Shepherd's marriage. I know there was something going on there. There was something going on there. Shepherd was married to Jeff Torpley from 2001 to 2009. They have a son named Jeffrey. He was born in 2005. Shepherd became engaged to Lamar Sally on December 2010. So she divorced this guy in 2009, and then she got engaged on 2010 with another dude. The couple married in Chicago in August 2011 and separated. They married. Okay, so she divorced in 2009. We're talking Sherry Shepherd. And then she met this guy 2010, and she became engaged, and they got married in 2010. And then she divorced him, And then she remarried this other guy that she met in December 2010. The couple married in Chicago, and they separated in May 14th, 2014. And it says here, Sherry's struggle inside Sherry Shepherd's sad love life after two nasty divorces and a love child scandal as she scores her own talk show. Sherry Shepherd recently landed her own talk show. It wasn't her own talk show. She stole it from Wendy Williams. Let's just say what it is. Bitch stole the show. But the road to getting there, especially her romantic relationship, has been long and challenging. Yeah, right. The actress stepped in to host Wendy Williams' daytime TV show in her absence. She's an ugly bitch. Look at her. She needs a good spanking.
You would love to give it to her, wouldn't you?
Huh?
You would love to give her that spanking, wouldn't you?
No, I really wouldn't. There's nothing that I'm attracted to Sherry. She is such, I hate to use the word toxic, but she is. Everything she touches turns to shit. You know who used to do that? Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan does the same thing, and Britney Spears the same thing. And you know who else does that, who's toxic, is the Kardashians. Everything that they touch, I'm talking personal relationship, turns to shit.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people that you just hang around that are so toxic. Trump is another one. There are certain people that you can hang around, and it will and you get shit on you. You get shit on you. Sherry, 54, hasn't been linked to anyone as of late. She has been married twice and has two children. In 2001, the comedian married Jeff Tarpley. Together, they welcomed a son named Jeffrey. They divorced 4 years later. In 2010, Sherry got engaged to Lamar Sally. Lamar Sally used to be a basketball player, if I'm correct. The pair tied the knot in August 2011. She and her beau split in 2014, but welcomed a child via surrogate in August of the same year. Surrogate, they named the baby Lamar Jr. and got locked in an intensive custody battle after the fact. She's a nutcase, too. All right, there you go. I know, you know, sometimes you think you have a subject that's going to be really exciting and it's juicy, and it's really juicy. And then you get into it, it's like, it's... You get in the middle of it, it's like, I'm in trouble. You're trying to make it work, and it's like, don't die on me. Freeze. Come on, motherfucker. Make it interesting. It's like in the middle of it, you realize that it's just shit. It's like, you're trying to play it off. Wow. It sounded real good. And you're trying to make it work. Okay. Hang in there because Laverne's review from Sandman is coming up, and you don't want to miss that, and I guarantee you that's exciting. I'm putting shit on you. Well, hey, Laverne's coming up. He's like, thanks a lot, man. You're dead. You just gave a bad show for about an hour. And you go, Laverne's next. Yeah.
Man.
I mean, no kidding, Laverne. You think, hey, this is a good subject, Wendy Williams going crazy and everything. And then you realize that this is not good and you can't get out of it. It's not. Nothing you can do. And then we're going to talk about five signs that someone is secretly a sociopath. That should be interesting, right?
Yes.
So when we come back, five signs that you may be a sociopath, or you're dating a sociopath, or you're in love with a sociopath, or your kids are sociopaths. So when we come back, we're going to do that. There's five signs that you should know about. It's going to take 12 minutes. And then after that, Laverne has her great interview. You're listening to the Laverne Show.
Hey, y'all know what time it is.
I know they do. They do. Wow. and we'll be right back. I'm going to just get another cup of coffee, and when we come back, are you with a sociopath? Are you married to a sociopath? Do you know what a sociopath is? Are you a sociopath? Or are your kids crazy enough to be sociopaths? We'll find out. We'll give you the five signs when we get back. You're listening to Brian Jackson Show, Hammer 96.7. The number is 319-527-6099. It's Friday, everybody. It's called Freakin' Fuck Friday. Yay! With that title, I'm going to get a lot of sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Hope I'll tell you all about it when you again, when I see you.
Things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. How can we not talk about family? What families all that we got? Everything I was with, you were standing there by my side, and now you told me.
Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, but I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again.
Go out your way and the vibe is feeling stronger. With small turn to a friendship, a friendship turn to a bond, and that bond will never be broken, the love will never be lost. And when brotherhood comes first, and that line will never be crossed, established it on our own, when that line had to be drawn, and that line is what we need to remember me when I'm gone.
Can't help think about Fast and Furious and about death when you hear that song. When I see you again. Wow. Interesting song. Alright. Let's get to it. Let's see if you guys are in love with a sociopath. Here we go. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio. Here are your five signs if someone is secretly a sociopath. I will stop it if there is something that piques my interest. Here you go. Listen to this.
There are
Here we go.
In the mind of a sociopath. Then we'll go over five subtle signs to help you tell if someone is a sociopath. While no single trait means anything definitive, if you see these all together, it can be a red flag. When it comes to the mainstream media, the most heavily emphasized trait of sociopaths is in their lack of empathy. Simply put, they do not relate to other people's pain or sadness.
Yep. I had an executive producer like that. I'm not going to mention who she was. She could not relate to people's pain. She could not relate to their hardship. She didn't have a heart. It was like she could have been in the Wizard of Oz. Like she was one of those, well, she could have been all of them. If only I had a brain. I'm trying to get through this. I can't. You know, Laverne, I mean, I just.
These people are born like this, Brian? Mm-hmm. These people are born with this? Or
I think it could be learned. I mean, I do see kids. You know, you hear kids who kill animals, right? I mean, and they setting little things on fire and burning ants and have no sympathy of it and hurting cats and you don't feel anything. But then you get great pleasure. We talked about the psychopath yesterday. And a sociopath just don't feel empathy. I had somebody anonymously. These people they went out of their way. They were hurting. They lost this and this and this. And she didn't feel bad about them. And she goes, well, there's another thing tomorrow. I've never seen anybody that can do that or think that way. You're asking, you know, it's a good question. Let me answer that. Can a person be born a sociopath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that answer. I think they could, but let's just get that answer. I've heard then, born a sociopath. Let's see. Here we go. Can a person be born as a sociopath? It appears that someone is born a sociopath. It takes triggers from the environment in the childhood for full-blown symptoms of a sociopath to develop. But the brain is primed from its birth. It's a dance between nature and nurture that are the sociopath causes.
I hate to step in and say, prove it. Prove they know that brain is wired that way. Prove it. They can't.
Well,
it's theory, Brian. It's all theory.
Well, this is according to the Healthy
Place. They can't prove it.
I don't know. Can't prove it. Well, there's some kids' behavior that are very harmful. You have heard that children are very mean to pets or whatever, and they don't feel anything about it. You know what I mean?
They don't know. I'm telling you, they don't know. Born that way. How do they know? They don't know that.
Well, it says here, causes of sociopath, both nature and nurture.
Yeah.
Call it by
nature,
any of the names. The
nature.
Antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah.
Or sociopath. The disorder affects all aspects of someone's life. A sociopath is antisocial. They're manipulative. They're deceitful.
Yep.
They break the rules.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. Hey, I got some of these things. I break the rules. I'm not deceitful. Am I antisocial? I'm on the radio. How can I be antisocial? All right, forget it. They're rule-breaking people. They're superficial people. They're charming, so he can have his way. Where does something this severe come from? Oh, charming. Hello. Like all personality disorders, an antisocial personality disorder is so blah 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 blah. It's part of every facet of a person's inner and outer world. The social path causes are biological, as Laverne said, they're biological. It's a second one saying it's biological. They said, as well as environmental.
But they can't. They don't even know. They don't know.
Really? But I don't know.
Can they look at a brain scan and see it? No.
I don't know.
Can they take blood? Right? Or a body? I mean, it's theory.
Well, it says here, It's an aspect of nature, the person's biology and genetic makeup influences the development of a sociopath. Also, events in the nurturing of the person impact sociopathic behavior. While it's still unknown, here you go, Melissa, because I'm going to give it to you. While it's still unknown exactly how much of a sociopath causes come from nature and how much comes from nurture, researchers
nurture.
That's what I said, nurture.
You said
nature and nurture.
Like
I'm sorry. I did? Okay, I'm sorry.
Nature versus nurture.
Okay.
Researchers
do know that both play an important role in the development of being a sociopath.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the biological causes of being a sociopath. What is it in someone's nature that causes him to be a sociopath? Scientists have some theories. One is that the brain of a sociopath matures at a slower rate than the brain of a non-sociopath. Further, early brain damage could lead to the development of this disorder. Damage isn't the only thing that can cause the brain to develop abnormally. Researchers are also studying biological dysfunctions or faulty wiring as a sociopath cause. Sociopath test that illustrates brain functioning such as fMRIs and EEGs show whether a doubt that there are brain-based causes of sociopaths. So they could do that. They could connect you and see, look at your brain waves to see if you're a sociopath.
No, they can't.
It says here they show without a doubt that there are brain-based causes of sociopathy. Biology, nature unquestionably contributes to antisocial personality disorder. This is only part of the picture, however. The genetics or the organic brain itself must exist, but sometimes have to be triggered. They're saying it's both. I kind of agree with you, Melissa. I kind of agree with you.
Theory. Yeah.
All this is theory. But the question is, and I'm taking this from Laverne, can a child be a sociopath? Are there antisocial behavior in children that can cause damage to others? Yes.
But you have to, I don't think that if you read about any of these people, they've had palatial childhoods, and sometimes who knows what they learned also.
Yes, I do agree with you. I don't think a child is born a sociopath. I think it's a learned behavior. I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm just trying with common sense. It's a learned behavior through some kind of trauma.
Or maybe
but
their
I don't
parents th- even display. Do you guys remember seeing
exactly.
that interview of who was the guy that, that ate the people? Oh, my God. I can't think of his name.
Oh, Hannibal Lecter?
Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
His father had the same fantasies. He was on a talk show, but never acted out on them, but he had the same fantasies.
Well, there are some people who are cannibals.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't about that. It wasn't about that with him.
It wasn't
about the act of, wanting to eat flesh.
Cannibalism.
It was about not wanting these people to leave him.
So he would keep
apart. Psychologically, he kept apart. He kept penises of these men. Body parts to keep them in him. He couldn't take being the loss of having these people leave him.
I feel the same way because a lot of my exes.
He kept people that he just went out and had a one night stand with.
He did. And he would lay with them after they were dead and cuddle them and love them. And yeah.
Well, I guess I kept, when I used to date, I kept part of some women too. There's things
what,
I used
their
to
underwear?
Do. One would be, yeah, no, it wasn't. Oh, don't be gross. Melissa.
I was being you.
It was garters. It was actually garters, so it was kind of close. you're close. I did. They were beautiful garters. You know, like you know what a garter that you put right on your thigh and everything. They were
yeah.
actually beautiful garters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just a and then when they left, I kept they gave me their anger, and I kept that for a while until they completely left me. But I inherited their
yep.
anger. It's like good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I agree with you. It's hard. It's hard for me to believe that a child is born and then he's born with being a sociopath. It's like saying it's a child born with being a racist, and I put it in the same category. That is learned. And then we have trauma. We have trauma in life, and you're right. And depending on what your environment is. That you take on, you know, it's a learned behavior. You find that your father is a sociopath or your mother is a sociopath. You probably learn that behavior. You understand that behavior becomes part of you. But I don't think it's your DNA that all of a sudden you're, oh, that's another show I should do. Oh, my God, I forgot about that show. They're not saying what it is. There's a show right now. It's a new show that are finding cold cases and stuff like that and murder and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're saying that they're using some of these DNA companies to help
mm-hmm.
find it, help find these murder,
yeah.
Help solve some of these cold cases.
Yeah.
And I was saying, wait a minute, I'm putting two, they didn't say the name, but I'm putting two to two together. There's only a couple of them. Was it 1, 2, 3 and me, and there's another one,
yep.
whatever. And I'm putting it together.
Yep.
I'm going, you son of a bitch. You're using these people's information that you probably told them that, you know, whatever DNA that you put here that's only going to be yours, we can, blah, 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 blah. But you're using their information, and the government is using your information that you're thinking that is private to solve cases
yeah.
and to put in other databases. I was going to
yep.
do that story, and I forgot about that story.
You should do it. That would be a
good
one.
I wanted
one.
To do it.
I'm really
but
into
it's like
the cold cases and true crime. I am very into that.
Yeah, and they're lying
very
to the public.
That.
And if you ever think about, you know, doing that 1, 2, 3 of me, and they're lying to you saying, well, you know, it's your background and we're going to see where you're grown from and everything. Uh-uh. They even have this new thing now, and I don't know what it is. It's like Cindy's carrying a dead body. I mean, I'm trying to do a show, and I'm hearing, she's carrying this air conditioning, portable air conditioning. It's like a dead body.
Oh,
I'm just looking at her. Next time. So they got this new thing now. You're not going to believe what is happening. And I'm glad I'm doing a show because I'm talking to you guys now. You know, when I talk, here's a secret. The best show I ever do is when I talk privately with Laverne and Melissa. When we have a three-way conversation after the show is
the
over.
Best show.
You guys are missing a great show. But they have this thing where you can now use your hand. And I don't know if it's Apple's doing this. I don't know if it's iPhone's doing it. I don't know if it's Android's doing it. But now you can use your hand to pay for items in the grocery store. Do you guys see it?
No,
yeah.
I think they wanted to do that. Wasn't Amazon going to do that a while back? They talked about it. Or
yeah, but they're
like
actually
that?
Doing it. Yeah, but they're actually doing
wow.
it now. You can wave
like
your
that.
Hand. I don't either because now they have your DNA and they got your fingerprints and everything. These fools are going through stores right now, and they're paying by just putting their hand on something, and it's checking you out. It's paying. Something about your fingerprints or your hand is connected to your bank account, and they have some kind of device that you can go to the store and just wave your hand and it pays for the item.
Laverne, would you do that?
But they've been out for a while. They've been out for a while.
Really?
And
I didn't know that.
People think it's convenient.
Right.
I have one credit card that all I have to do is hold it up, and it has a chip in it, and the machine can read it. You don't slide it. You don't slip it in anywhere. You don't sign anything. All you do is hold it up. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, mine too. I got one of those too, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
It's
but listen,
like, wow.
you got the nail on the head. It's right there. And also, you're right, Laverne. You're right. Both of you guys are right. Here it is. Amazon has tried it first. Shoppers on Amazon at Whole Foods. You guys have Whole Foods where you are?
No.
Whole Foods.
Well,
Yeah.
Amazon owns Whole Foods now. W-H-O-L-E, Whole Foods. Amazon owns it.
Have you ever seen the prices in there? Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're kind of high.
Ridiculous.
And it says here, well, shoppers at Amazon may soon be waving their hands about at the checkout in order to pay for their items. The company is currently testing scanning technology that can identify a human hand, and a source is claiming to have knowledge of the matter told the New York Times. So there you go. There's your DNA. And people think it's convenient.
Yeah, they already know that it works because they've been using it in other countries.
Yes,
they
have.
So I don't know how they're going to try that out.
And it says here, here's something to catch. This is because a 37-year-old doesn't need to use a bank card or his mobile phone to pay. Instead, he simply places his left hand near the contactless card reader, and the payment goes through. That's it. It's a microchip. Mm-hmm. The microchip implant that let you pay with your hand is an implant? Yeah, that's what it is. I forgot that I saw the story. They will implant a chip in your hand. They implant a chip. Can you do?
Mm-hmm.
Would you do that?
Well, I don't know if I would do that or not, because to me it's still I don't know if I would do that or not. But see, they got some people doing it with their job. They open the door.
Yeah.
So they can threaten you again and say, well, this is the only way we are going, that you know, the for you to have this job is for you to get this chip in your hand to keep your job.
Well, that's true. 1 second. 918, you're live on the air. Is this who I think it is? Hello, 918.
Who do you think it is?
Well, I think it's you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right.
Well, we missed to hear your voice. We're just talking about you the other day. Everybody, this is Angela.
Oh.
Angela, you got Melissa and you got Laverne in the studio. See, you're surprised I remember
Laverne.
Your name. Laverne
is so awesome. Melissa's here. You finally got talent on your show. I'm so impressed.
That is true.
Oh, no, they are talented. No ifs, ands, or buts.
How are you doing, Angela? I've been hearing stories. I've been hearing troubled stories. How's your health?
Well, it's been better. It's been worse.
I hear you,
better,
kiddo.
You know.
I hear you, kiddo. Are you working on any stories? Because you know you're an activist. What's going on in Oklahoma?
Because of my health, I've taken it easier. So,
did you really?
Nothing right now. Nothing right now other than the midterms are coming up.
Oh, okay. And how are your kids doing?
Well, they're doing fine.
Okay.
One's going to Rocklahoma. It's a big concert festival. So.
Okay, good. Well, Melissa, do you want to ask Angela? Or Laverne, do you want to ask Angela anything? Because we missed her. It's been a long time. We should ask her questions.
Yeah, it has been. How are you doing, Angela?
I'm doing better today. Doing better today.
Good. Good.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. That is a really good thing.
Now, Andrew, since you are an actor. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Talk to Laverne.
Your show.
Don't do that to me, please.
The show where you say it's Wendy Williams' last days, is that of her show or is she on her deathbed?
Well, you know what? She's having a hard time. I'm not going to mock Wendy Williams.
No, I'm not. I'm just wondering if she's more ill.
But this is her last show. She just fell apart. They're saying that the last year of her show, that she was going to get renewed, that she left for the whole year without letting anybody know about it. She was suffering for some mental illness thing and we know that she has Graves' disease.
Graves.
But there are rumors about alcoholism and some drug use that she's involved in.
I'm sure life is not easy for her.
Right. And not to mention her husband was fooling around with a mistress, and then she got a child by him. That put her over the edge. They basically canceled her show. They basically canceled her show. And Sherry Shepherd is taking over, huh?
I said maybe that's for the best. Well, if Sherry is taking over, it still exists in one form or another, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes life sucks when you get older. You know, you ever notice that?
It does.
It's like, you know, it gets harder when you get older than like this where everything sucks.
Well, that's where taking good care of yourself now leads to a better tomorrow.
That's true. Now, I want to ask you, now, Angela, you are an activist. I would call you a feminist. Would it be accurate to call you a feminist, like you're a feminist theorist? Because you are a feminist.
Well, you know, people that call themselves a feminist, you know, it's a big spectrum. I'm on that spectrum, but I'm going to change out my engine in my car, but I believe in being empowered.
Okay. Now, do you believe that men can come up, can create a toxic environment? Is there such thing as a toxic male, in your opinion?
Well, there's toxic humans, no matter what their gender is.
Okay. Well, in this aspect, we're talking about a toxic male. And can you give me the characteristics, in your opinion, the first maybe three things that somebody is encountering a toxic male that you think a behavior problem that could be a toxic male and its symptoms?
Abuse. Would be number one.
Abuse is not toxic, is it? Well,
I would call abuse toxic. You know, insane focus on themselves, you know, narcissistic.
Would you call a narcissistic man, toxic man?
Yes.
Okay, and what is your view of a narcissist? What is my narcissist man?
Of a narcissist?
Yes.
Someone that wants attention, to be focused on themselves. If they're a woman, they want to be surrounded by men. And if it's a man, they want to be surrounded by women. Usually people that compliment them. They don't like to be challenged. Narcissist. They live in a different reality, and they like to gaslight people, for example. It's not a good environment, and no boundaries.
I understand. I consider myself a narcissistic man. I really do. I self-admit this. But the reason I consider myself a narcissistic man, I do... I think women are edibles, my playthings. I just recently learned to respect women, and a great deal of it is from Cindy, and a great deal of it is from people like Melissa, and a great deal of it is people like Laverne. So I had to learn to really respect women, because my view towards women were just playthings, you know what I mean? Something to do, something. You get what I'm saying.
Well,
by by being with a strong, confident woman like Cindy and being around mm-hmm. friends like Melissa and Laverne, I have learned that to, I know this sounds silly, but I learned to respect and listen to women, you know, because I never did listen before. Does that make any sense? But
yes, it does. You're growing up.
I still spank you and some bubbles, but you
no, you're crossing a boundary. Now, to get healthy means you have boundaries.
I'm crying. Help! There's a pepper spray. And Vern going, oh shit, we went off the rails here.
Well, no, I mean, boundaries are good. They define you. If you live within them, the possibilities are endless. If you set them for yourself, Brian, if
you
set your boundaries for yourself, they are principles. If you, Brian, if you let someone else set them for you, then there are restrictions.
Right.
But even so, there's common boundaries, what's inappropriate and what's not. And everybody can learn to grow in those areas.
I'll give you a hiccup.
I'm helping him with that, Angela. I'm teaching him.
Yeah, you are.
Good. I am glad to hear that. Because we all have room to grow and adjust.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Well,
that is good.
He's doing well. I redirect him constantly.
She does.
Constantly.
Well, that's good. You know, if he's open, if you're open to that direction, that's even better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is.
All right.
It is.
Going back to five signs. Good to hear your voice, Angela. And welcome to the show.
Thank
again.
You.
Going back to five signs that someone is secretly a sociopath. You may be a sociopath. You may not know it. You may be in love with a sociopath. He may not know it. Here's another sign of being a sociopath. Here you go.
Maybe if I don't blink, my eyes will tear up. Well, it's often used for laughs on TV. You may not realize that this lack of empathy has a scary consequence. Sociopaths have a strong internal urge to manipulate you. To understand why, here's a thought exercise. Think about your own life and something you want. Maybe it's a promotion at work or something someone else owns or even wanting to have sex with someone. Now imagine what you would do to get that thing if your brain could not feel guilt, if you didn't care about hurting other people to get what you want. Listen to these two diagnosed sociopaths talk about that instinct to manipulate.
I am quite manipulative naturally. It's just really, really built in. And I have to have those instincts. Otherwise, I don't get the outcomes that I want.
Because if I encounter a certain kind of person, and if I'm talking to you and I sense a level of weakness, I get kind of the urge to prey upon that. If I have something that I want to get, then I'm gonna do my best to get it.
Not every sociopath is a bad person, but that instinct to manipulate is why it can be important to know if you're talking to a sociopath.
There you go. But see, it's so vague because we all manipulate, don't we? I mean, we all do. It's part of our nature. Am I correct?
I don't think so.
No, we do. It could be flirting. It could be flirting. Flirting is leading. Manipulate could lead somebody to something you really want done. Let's say you want your husband to mow the lawn. You can lead. You can manipulate him. Maybe the word is manipulate is a little harsh, but you can manipulate him to mow the lawn and do what you need to do. And
You can do that, but a lot of people just say, "Well, can you mow the lawn today?"
Yeah, but you know that he's going to give you every excuse why he doesn't want to mow the lawn, and then you know that you would have to go okay. And you compromise. You say, listen, if you mow the lawn, you may, that chair, that armchair that you're thinking about, we'll take a look at it. You know, we'll go to the auctions or whatever. You know, isn't that manipulating? I mean, some people call it a deal. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting the word manipulating confused. But we all manipulate.
Some people manipulate. I don't know if all people manipulate or not. I don't know.
Really?
I never thought
of a bargain.
Really.
Well, yeah.
I think Laverne is right. but I'd like to add on to that. A sociopath is going to strategically manipulate someone without any regard to the other person's emotions at all. That's the key feature.
Right. I agree. I agree with Laverne. I just like to give the opposite end of the devil's thing, and I agree with you, Angela. Melissa probably would agree with you, too. Okay, here we go. We're going to move on. Another sign.
Sociopaths today are even considered to be on the same spectrum as psychopaths, and it's not as uncommon as you may think. According to the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, 1 in 30 people are said to have these antisocial personality disorders. So if your school or your place of work has more than 30 people in it, you may be interacting with a sociopath or psychopath without even realizing it. The first potential sign that you've met a sociopath is a strange one, because meeting a sociopath doesn't come with some gut sense of dread. Often, it's the opposite. Their first impressions can feel too good to be true. This is because they have no boundaries as to how much they will fake about themselves to win you over.
Okay, I'm throwing in the whistle. Foul, come on. Come on.
No, they are very charming.
They have no boundaries as to how much they will fake about themselves to win you over. Donald Trump does this all the time. Are you calling him a sociopath? But come on.
Well,
but
I think he's very much a sociopath.
Yeah, I think he is too. I really think he is. But they
he's
have no boundaries.
Example.
What do you mean boundaries? What is about? Help me out here, Laverne, Melissa, Angela. This is because they have no boundaries as to how much they will fake about themselves to win you over. Don't people brag about themselves without being a sociopath? Don't you over-exaggerate some certain things? You know what I mean? Guys brag about their penises all the damn time.
No.
They don't exaggerate.
They don't respect other people's boundaries. They don't care.
Okay.
If you look at Donald Trump, and antisocial denotes that there's criminal intent when you call someone antisocial, and he is a sociopath. He does not care about other people's emotions or their feelings,
right?
Or their needs, their basic needs.
Right.
And if we look at how he supposedly declassified top secret documents, I mean, there's the legal world, and then there's his world, which trumps the legal world. You know, I think he's a really good example. I'm not a psychologist or anything, but yeah, I see a lot of those traits in him. And I'm so glad he got rated. I'm so happy about that.
Was there
one particular person that usually comes on your show that was upset?
No, we had them. They came on a show. They let out their outrage. Okay, but here's this. I'm going to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Can a sociopath be cured? Is there a cure for being a sociopath? Anybody?
I don't think so.
If there's a learned behavior, can you unlearn that behavior and go on with your life?
Not
or
when it's set in childhood.
See, that's a question that Melissa disagrees with you. Laverne asked that question again about childhood, being born.
We argued about nature versus nurture. That's what we argued about. That's different. I didn't really argue about it. I think it's theory at this point.
Okay. Well, here's the answer. There is no cure for antisocial personality disorder. If you're antisocial, there is no cure for you. There's no cure. Psychopaths and sociopaths generally have no conscience or any ability to connect with a sense of moral conscience. Because of their self-inflated ego. Wait a minute. I'm still in the class. They're self-inflated. I got a self-inflated ego. You didn't see my ego. My ego is just huge. It's a great ego. It's an amazing. You've probably never seen this ego before in your life. It's an amazing ego. Thank you. Because of their self-inflated ego and a sense of entitlement, they generally, white people, and Laverne's good night. I'm not going to laugh at that. Oh, come on, Laverne. Give me something. Okay. because of their self-inflated ego and sense of entitlement, they generally see no reason to change their behavior. Sociopaths need professional help, so there is no cure for being a sociopath. So, and can't, so that's it. A child is born with the capacity to be a sociopath. That's it. Are sociopaths made or born? Here's the answer. Sociopaths are both born and made. They are made in our schools, universities, religion, institutions, other organizations, and especially the mainstream media. Movies and even TV shows for children and young teens is filled with training in sociopathic behavior and psychotic behavior. Okay, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. All right, so I don't know if I agree with this. You know?
What?
I don't know if I agree with this. Now, Angela, are you breathing heavy or are you just happy to see me?
Oh, I'm having problems breathing.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just, and sometimes have a hard time breathing, so.
Okay.
My medical problems, sorry.
Oh, no, I just thought it was me, that's all. That's just my narcissistic behavior. Laverne.
Is Cindy listening to me? Okay, just checking.
Sydney hasn't listened to me since 2002. She knows who I am. Cindy knows. Cindy knows what she got when she started dating me. I was the same with her. There was no thing to be anywhere. I saw her and I go, "Hey, baby." I was just as annoying as I am now. And she said, "I see good in you." And I said, "Really? Okay. I see good in you, too. Let me take off my underwear." Oh, this is a hard group. Come on. Oh, my God. I got to have more men. I got to get more men in my show. All right, here we go. 5 signs of a sociopath.
Listen to this man describe how he would get close to people in order to use them.
I'll speak to someone. I won't really tell them much about me. They'll tell me about them, and then once they tell me about them, I'll kind of form a personality. I'll exaggerate certain features about my own personality to match what it is that they're looking to see.
Now, a lot of people do this to a smaller degree when meeting new people. They'll pretend to be more interested in the things they say or laugh at jokes that aren't particularly funny. But sociopaths and psychopaths take this to a level far beyond where most neurotypical people would be comfortable. Here's a more vile example from a serial pedophile with ASPD. He's talking about how he would earn people's trust so that he could take advantage of them.
The best way to fool people is to help. It's to ask what they want, ask what they need. Do they need any help doing anything? Do they need any money? Or do they need their car fixed? Do they need the grass cut? Do they need their children looked out for?
So if you walk away from a first encounter feeling completely enamored with a person, you may have just experienced the fake charm of a sociopath. Of course, not everyone you feel an immediate special connection with is a sociopath. Some people just have likable, charismatic habits and make good first impressions. So don't let that on its own be a red flag. If you have this feels too good to be true experience, and you aren't sure what it means, then keep an eye out for the next sociopath clue, the sociopath stare. Since sociopaths feel shallow emotions at best, they don't get nervous around people. This means they don't feel compelled to break eye contact like most people do. Listen to Kanika explain it here.
I don't break eye contact very often. I had to physically teach myself to blink more often, which is really weird. Yeah, and to stop staring at people, it freaks them out.
Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes was infamous for going 10 seconds between blinks.
Every time you create something new, there should be questions. And to me, that's a sign that you've actually done something that is transformative.
In general, strong eye contact is a sign of confidence. But if someone is engaging in 10-second bouts of unblinking eye contact with you, take note. It could be a red flag. Now, let's say this person isn't a stranger, but someone you already know well, a classmate, a work colleague, or even a friend. If you've managed to get into a relationship with a possible sociopath, you may want to ask yourself this question. do I do more favors for them than I do for most people? Because of their instinct for manipulating people, sociopaths can end up getting more favors from you than anyone else. They'll do this by starting small before working their way up to bigger asks. They'll also lie to you and use your own empathy against you.
I would tell her, oh, you know, my dog, he got rushed to the hospital last night. We were there late until about 3 a.m., and there was this problem and that problem and that problem, and I don't even have a dog.
You might think you would know if someone was lying to you, but sociopath lies often go unnoticed for two reasons. First, sociopaths are extremely comfortable lying. They don't have the normal tells like fidgeting, a hard swallow, or trouble holding eye contact while lying. Second, unlike the small white lies most people are comfortable telling, sociopath lies are way more detailed and grandiose, and sociopaths are much more comfortable doubling down on a lie when caught. So much so, it's hard for a neurotypical person to detect the lie, because you end up thinking, this can't possibly be a lie, because no normal person would lie this way. Jodi Arias is a good example of this. Watch the various stories she spun up after her ex-boyfriend was found murdered at his home.
Helen Hansel was able to win any competition she took part in. She was known as the contest queen because she had won 7 trips to Paris, boats, houses. She would basically take part in any sweepstake she read about, any contest, and she would just win. That made my documentary crew and I ask Helen, how do you do that? And she spoke about this thing called the Silva technique. Helen, you see, was Jose Silva's former PR manager.
Were you in Toronto's house for Wednesday?
Absolutely not. I was nowhere near Mesa. Nowhere near Phoenix.
I witnessed Travis being attacked by 2 other individuals.
Who?
I don't know who they were. I couldn't pick them out in a police lineup.
So what happened?
I'm not proud that I just left my friend there to be slaughtered at the hands of 2 other people. I'm not proud of that at all.
I didn't mean to shoot him or anything.
This is an extreme example, but it goes to show how someone with ASPD is much more comfortable following up a lie with another lie and feeling no shame or guilt about doubling down on their lie or creating an elaborate fake story. Diane Downs, who murdered her own daughter, even tried to use the elaborate nature of her lie to prove she wasn't lying.
I wouldn't walk in there and say, this weird person came up out of nowhere and shot us for no reason and just left. I mean, that's not a believable story. If I had done this, I could have come up with a believable story.
Now, it's worth repeating, most sociopaths aren't murderers. Many people with ASPD don't even know they have it, and they live mostly normal lives. But you can see why it would be so hard to spot a sociopath was lying if they were someone close to you. Finally, the last sign that you're dealing with a sociopath is that their emotional responses seem off. For instance, because sociopaths don't have a natural empathy, any condolences they share will be learned and potentially robotic.
What I'll have to do is I'll have to logically understand that, okay, this is an event that people typically get sad at, so I would have to find words of confidence to give them. You know, I'm sorry that happened to you. I know that must be hard. Is there anything I can do? Would you like to talk?
Sometimes it's those moments where a sociopath tries to fake empathy that they will accidentally reveal their lack of it. This is actually one of the areas that the show Dexter does a good job of highlighting. The writers make sure he occasionally mishandles reacting to bad news.
I'm having intimate relations with Aguenta.
Congratulations.
Paul's dead.
Oh?
Another emotional response to look out for is a lack of guilt after hurting you.
Did you always understand the negative effect manipulation can have on others?
No. I didn't always understand why people had an adverse reaction to it, because in a way I kind of looked at it like a game, and you lost.
One particular phrase to look out for is, why are you so upset? As a one-off, it doesn't mean anything, but if this is something you hear repeatedly, it may be a clue that the person you're with struggles with empathy. If you're dating a sociopath, this question can also be a lead-in to more dangerous behaviors like invalidating your feelings and gaslighting you. Because a sociopath lacks empathy, they are going to have a very strong frame when they say things like, it's not a big deal, I don't know why you're so upset, you're overreacting. This is why it's important to maintain strong relationships outside of your significant other.
So you have people you...
They should not use phrases like that we usually use in our common language. Because it's dangerous. Now you're thinking, oh, it's no big deal, whatever. Now, you know, weak minds can say, oh, that's what a sociopath... would say, you know what I mean?
I think it has to be when it was said, why it was said, right? If somebody upset you or did something really horrible and you're upset, and then they say, why are you so upset? That's what they're getting at, not somebody just saying, why are you so upset, right?
Have you met anybody like that, Melissa?
Yes.
Have you, Laverne? Have you met anybody like that?
Probably, and just didn't know it. I meant, you know, didn't.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah. I keep thinking maybe I'm like that, but I'm not. Okay, am I grandiose? Yes. I don't know if I'm grandiose. I mean, grandiose is like, you know who's grandiose is Peach, or what's his name? Meech. Am I saying that? God, it's been so long. Big Meech. Remember Big Meech? Hello, hello, hello. You know what I mean? He's grandiose. I don't know, kiddos. And we got
He was that. He was flamboyant.
That's what I would call it, too.
Flamboyant,
yeah.
And grandiose. Okay, we got 1 minute. Here we go. And go, Laverne, your review on Sandman. Go. Here's Laverne's Hollywood review on Sandman.
My review on Sandman, I really thought it was a movie, but it's a series. And it's something that you, that's a series that you really can't miss. Like you said, you know, I'm going to go and go to the bathroom right quick and stuff. No, you can't even do that. You have to keep your eye on it to try and understand it. And then still may go over your head because it goes over my head. And I thought that with some of it, I was thinking, oh, okay, good. I'm going to look at this. It sounds interesting because some of this stuff in here, I would like to get, see if there's a little bit of nuggets and jewels as far as pertaining to, like, you know, period, reality, period. And it is some jewels in there, but it's still kind of, it's a hard movie to follow and to understand. Well, you remember the movie Conception? The movie was about a dream and a dream.
I think so.
Yeah, that was hard for me to follow, too. And to me, this is another one of those type movies, although it's very interesting, have great effects. And it had good storylines, but you really have to kind of understand, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. Like you said, if you looked at a trailer, then you may understand what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, we're one of these people that we're in, I keep wanting to say overtime. What am I talking about?
Podcast.
After the show.
We in podcast?
Yeah, podcast. So I might want to say that for when we're live.
Yeah.
And because I'm going to play that, and I'm also going to play the prequel. I don't have time yet. I'm going to play the prequel of GOT, which is Game of Thrones, because I promised that trailer. That's coming on Sunday, so I can give the review on that. And we're going to give you back, and then I'll go back to Sandman and go back to your review and give you my review off the trailer, and you can tell me if I'm spot on or not, you know, what I kind of think it is. What do you think, Laverne?
Okay.
We'll do that Monday so we have more time and people can do it live. I want to thank you. Oh, you know what's on now? I should do the thing. After our show, what's on now is on Blog Talk. It's called The Working Dead. It's politics, conservative politics from a lady who has glasses. These are the live shows that are on right now.
That's the name of it? From a lady who has glasses?
The Woking Dead, W-O-K-I-N-G
The Woking Dead is a conservative politics conservative show. There's a woman in black hair wearing glasses. She look goofy. Basically, she's a right-wing person. She's making fun of the woke, you know, you got woke people. Another live show on Blog Talk right now is called Tomorrow Will Be Televised, Surfside Girls. I guess it's some kind of stupid, I don't know what that is, a Western episode? I was going to do one of these. I don't know if you guys, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's live 57 minutes. I'm curious about this. Last of our four episodes this week for a program all about TV, our guests may, I don't know. I guess it's an episodic Blog Talk show. Just 2 seconds. They're loading it right now.
Yes, you are on, and Jason's going to join us momentarily. Trying to get him going. So, John, we'll start with you.
You know what? I hope our show don't sound like that. That does, you know, when I hear stuff like that, did you guys hear that? I hear Blog Talk,
no.
You know? I mean, so unprofessional, so off the cuff, and so raw, and so amateurish. Do I sound like that? Our show sound like that? Seriously? I
don't
wonder
think
how.
So.
You don't?
No.
I mean, here it is again. Listen.
Welcome into the program.
Thanks for having me.
Jason, we'll start with you. How long has The Hill thought about doing its own 24/7 program service?
I think the conversations really kicked in earnest when Nexstar Media acquired The Hill last August. So about.
I didn't want our show to sound like a typical Blog Talk show, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really didn't.
Yeah.
The echoing and all the other stuff. And
oh, yeah. Gotta have good sound.
Does our show sound like that, kiddo? I don't, because I don't listen to our show.
Some people that call in their phones or whatever, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's another show, The Inner Whispers. That's an episode 42. A message of concern. Isaiah, Bible studies. Yeah, right. I mean, what do you guys do, really? I think we do you, when we go off the air, do you guys, I know, you go to YouTube, right? You go to YouTube.
I
do.
Go on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
So what do you guys watch at YouTube? Tell me what you guys do. I mean, you know, we're off the air. Tell me what you guys watch.
I listen to NPR a lot, too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Actually, a lot of people listen to NPR. Anybody don't know what NPR is, a National Public Radio Network or a Public Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some interesting people. They have some interesting things on NPR. They really do.
Yep. Absolutely.
And how about you, Laverne? What do you do? I like to know what you do when I say goodbye. We're over. Right now it's about 3:35 where you are. We're going to hang up. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go and finish listening to my reality shows on YouTube.
Oh, really? See?
Yeah.
Wow.
These people is better than any TV. Because they are definitely reality show, because this is definitely going on in their real life. And but some of them can get so hateful, so evil towards one another. They will be calling CPS on people. Last night they called the cops to one lady's house because they were mad and said they were calling for a wellness check. Then the other lady called the police on her, and they called people jobs and get them fired. They curse you out, and if you don't have strong skin, the person that they cursing out, they can make you cry or get off YouTube. It's definitely a reality show.
Wow. So
do they call themselves a reality show, or is it just Meet the Smiths?
No, they call themselves just coming up there making money. They say they come up there to make their money. Mm-hmm.
How do they do that?
That's all just by being up there. They stay up there hours talking about anything, they make money.
What?
But what they'll do, they'll talk about the other content creators, the other ones that have YouTube channels, and they make commentary on it and stuff.
Well, let me hang up here, and if you guys don't mind, I'll give you guys a call to say, have a great weekend. If you guys don't mind it, or if you guys are busy, I'll talk to you Monday. Do you guys think we can have a three-way?
Sure. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't be long.
Are you guys
just
there?
I wish you guys a good weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, puppy. Hi, kiddo. Okay, you guys. You've been listening to Brian Hammer Jackson, Hammer 96.7 BT. We'll see you guys Monday. I want to thank my guests, of course, the great Melissa, who just left the studio really quickly. And I want to thank Laverne. When she says bye, she's she is gone. All right, goodbye. What? She's gone. Can't wait to get the fuck out of here. Wow. I want to thank the Ebony Queen, beautiful, fine Laverne, for coming in the studio today. And thank you for gracing us with your company. You don't come in that often, but when you do, it's beautiful. Thank you, Laverne, for coming in. And she was just here.
Angela,
I'm sorry. I want to thank Angela for coming into the studio. It's great to hear her voice again. Angela, thank you. All right, we'll see you guys Monday. Bye, everybody.
Okay, Brian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.